Brother Darrell, you okay this morning?
Yes, sir.
I understand you were in an accident. What was that? Okay. I didn't know anything about it till last night. I don't know. Come up in a prayer meeting, so it's good to see y'all this morning. Well, we're going to get back into the topic we started out with last week, and it's probably going to be pretty tight in here this morning because of the topic that we're involved in. And I want to say something here this morning, too. We had a visitor lady that come in last Sunday morning, and not too long after I got underway, she got up and walked out. And that has eaten my lunch pretty good part of the week this week. I realized that why it happened, but you still, that thing will pop back into your mind several different times. And, of course, the reason that it happened is I'm sure I touched a nerve because I was dealing with abortion. And we and I hate that that happened. Okay, but we must deal with these issues, both from the lectern and from behind the pulpit, because this particular sin is one that God calls an abomination. He hates it. That generates some discomfort. I'll tell you this: I've spent over 40 hours this week doing research into this topic again, trying to get some of the material that I have updated. The material that I have on my website, I originally uploaded it in 2012. And I've gone and done the research this week, and most of it is still up to date. Some of the statistics may have changed. I have built some tables that eventually I'm going to upload on the website. It'll give you some idea of what the actual abortion statistics are. And it's not a pretty picture. I would encourage you to go to my website and look it up. I don't know how many of you have done any research on the issue of abortion. They're nothing but monsters, folks. They're monsters. I have and will be uploading some pictures to my website that I cannot pass around in this Sunday school class to give you some idea of how filthy this particular sin is, how ungodly, how wicked that it is. I've been sick to my stomach several times this week because of this very issue. But it's something that we must deal with. It's not pleasant. The murder of the innocents is a conduct that God will not tolerate. He will judge a nation for it. Now, do you all remember last week, and I wish Sister Mary was here this morning, she asked me a question after we'd been in. I'd said made some comments and stuff, and she asked a question, and I dealt with it then, and I want to deal with it just a little bit more at the outset here. The issue of when a young child gets an abortion, the problem is this: is that abortion still a murder? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But now, who holds the greater responsibility of it when I manipulate a child into getting a divorce? Or me as a parent or a grandparent go and sign for a child to have an abortion? If I try to put pressure on them to manipulate them into getting an abortion because it's inconvenient for me, who has the greater responsibility in it? Brother Jeff. In most states, they do not have to. They don't even have to get the parents' consent. They can take your child out of school and send them to an abortion clinic and get an abortion, and you can do nothing about it. Now, one of the reasons that... Go ahead, Brother Jeff. You hear what he's saying there. That's happening all over the country, folks. Very prominent. And, yes, Sister Brenda. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things in this that does not make sense. It's insane. And when I say insane, I'm talking about the people that are doing this stuff are under the control of the devil. That's what they are. The maniac of Gadara, when he came to salvation, was at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Most of the mental illness that we have in our society is having to do with devils and the devil himself. That's what most of it is. Now, I realize that there are people that are mentally ill where that is not involved, okay? And there's people that have had injuries where that's not involved. But what does the Bible say about somebody that is not saved? It says they are what? A child of the devil. That's what the Bible says. Now, the last time I done this particular series, I done it in a church on a Wednesday night, okay? And it run for quite a while. In that particular service, I passed out some handouts. And I'm not going to do that here. But I said that to say this. After I got through giving that presentation, I had a lady come up to me and tell me that she wished that she had have heard that presentation X number of years ago. That it would have stopped her from doing what she done. Now, that's one of the reasons I do this. Another reason that I do this, do you realize that 18.1% of the women that have abortions claim that they are evangelical Christians? They've got statistics on which ones claim to be Protestants and which ones claim to be Catholics. The key is they claim to be Christian. Can people do stuff like this and be Christian? Yes, they can. Okay? But the people that motivate them to do it have a severe responsibility toward God. Now, I want to read you something here. Killing is an action taken in self-defense, whereas murder is an act done in violation of God's laws against murdering the innocent. Willing participation in an abortion is an act of murder for both the mother and the individual performing the abortion. That's the ugly truth, folks. That's the ugly truth. I don't like it any better than you do. I don't like the fact that they manipulate these young girls to the positions that they manipulate them to. Before forgiveness from God can be granted, there must be an acknowledgement and a confession to God that abortion is murder. In other words, there must be repentance. You've got to repent of that act. There must be an attitude of sorrowful repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. While abortion in and of itself will not send you to hell, if you do not get forgiveness for it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will end up in hell. That's the plain truth. That's what repentance is all about. And now, I told you that my daughter had an abortion. Did y'all hear me say that last week? So I have a personal thing, and it was done without my permission. Today it wouldn't matter, as Brother Jeff was making a point, in many states. Some states still have the requirement that parental notification is required. So I've had a personal experience with this. And I can tell you this, it created so much friction in my marriage. It's not a decision that you ought to take lightly. And I'm not talking about my wife, Debbie, okay? But it created so much friction, and it's not a decision that ought to be made that doesn't involve both parents. It shouldn't be made to start with. Should not be made. And if you're a grandmother in here, you ought not ever sign for a grandchild to get an abortion. Now, what about forgiveness for murder? That's what I want to address here at the outset. Does God forgive the sin of murder? Absolutely. Biblical examples would be David. David was guilty of murder. Another biblical example would be Paul. He was guilty of murder. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles 33. Verses 10 through 18 is where we're going to read. Now, how many of you know what the history of King Manasseh was? How many of you know what his sordid background was? Do you know that he, Brother Dan does, did you know that he reigned for 55 years? Do you know that his mother's name was Hephzibah? Do you know that his father was one of the most godly kings ever in the history of the Jewish people? That's what his father was. Let's start in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Does God forgive the sin of murder and abortion? Does he forgive it? And the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. That's where we're at now, folks. The Lord has spoken unto the leaders of this nation. The Lord has spoken unto the mothers and fathers of this nation. He's done it time and again. That's why we have so much controversy over the issue of abortion. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. And he and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. Manasseh was guilty probably of the murder of more babies in the nation of Israel than any of the former kings had been. Yet God brought him back in and forgave him. You don't find grace in the Old Testament, there's an example of it right there. There's grace in the Old Testament. But there was a penalty to be paid for that. This resulted in the destruction of a nation. A nation went into captivity because of this particular sin. And what were they doing with it? We talked briefly about it last week. They were taking the babies and with Molech and what is the other one? Molech or some of those pagan gods over there. And they would take them and drop them into the fire down the arms of these pagan gods. Now, what difference is there between that and the abortions we do today? None. I'm going to make a statement here in a little while. I'm going to read some things, and it'll shock you is what it'll do. And that's one of the purposes for it. All right, let's So there is forgiveness. That's what I want you to understand up front. And another thing that I want you to understand is if you know someone who is thinking about getting an abortion, do your dead level best to counsel them. Because I'm here to tell you, there's not just the consequences of the physical part of the abortion that involves the death of the baby, but that mother is permanently impacted by it. 28% of the women that have abortions consider committing suicide following it. That's a very serious complication, folks. But if somebody here is local, is having an issue, and they need to get some kind of counseling, you try to counsel them. And if you can, I want to let you know that there is a bureau here in Kingsland over on Gross Road that's called Georgia Right to Life Group. And if you're they're at 130 North Gross Road in Kingsland. Have a phone number here for them. So if somebody's considering that, they ought to give those people a call to seek the counseling that they need. But you as a Christian ought to be able to counsel them. That's one of the purposes of why I'm doing this. The Bible speaks directly to abortion. That's what it speaks to. And we'll cover a little bit more in the light of that as we get into the lesson this morning. But let me give you some other quick facts. How many of you know who, see if I can remember what this guy's name is. He's a multi-billionaire. Warren Buffett. How many of you know who Warren Buffett is? How many of you know that he has given $1.8 billion, not million, $1.8 billion to people that promote abortion? How many of you know that Warren Buffett gave $440 million between 2003 and I think 2010? $440 million to Planned Parenthood. Don't let anybody deceive you about Planned Parenthood. They are an abortion mill. They are murderers. And they mask what they do on a percentage basis by counting each procedure that they do. If they do some kind of a test on a woman that goes in there, regardless of whether she's having an abortion or not, or chooses not to have one, and very few choose not to, they count that as a procedure. So what's the difference between a procedure of doing a test and then murdering a baby? But it's counted as the same thing. You see what I'm saying? They use that to manipulate statistics. Many of the Planned Parenthood clinics are in neighborhoods where minorities reside. They're planted there, and they will deny that. But this week I read an article on how Planned Parenthood manipulates the statistics to make it look like that they're not doing that. Instead of canvassing a whole area, what they'll do is they'll pick a zip code, and they'll base their figures upon that zip code. And not taking, and there was a study done that where they'd done that very thing. And then what they'd done is they pinpointed that abortion clinic and took a radius of 2 miles around it. And guess what? That particular thing was dead in the middle of a community that was made up of blacks and Hispanics. They target the minorities, folks. And I want to remind you again that black folks make up 13.1% of the population of the United States of America. And yet, 36.7% of the abortions that are performed in America are on black babies. The percentage is also higher for Hispanics. The thing you've got to remember when you start talking about the Hispanics versus the tables, folks, that I've built, documents the abortion rate for whites, for blacks, for Hispanics, and for other that I'm going to be uploading. They document that. But we've kind of set up a special class with the Hispanics, okay? Most of the folks that we call Hispanics, why are they called Hispanics? They're from countries of which the language base is Spanish, and a lot of it comes out of South America, Latin countries and Mexico, and also Spain itself. That Hispanic literally talks about Spain, doesn't it? And most of those folks are Caucasians, aren't they? So we set up a separate class. But the fact that the abortion rate is so high for those particular things ought to wake some of the left-wing political people up to the fact of what is being carried out, and it's a Holocaust, people, upon the babies in the United States of America. And God is not happy with it, folks. We are under the judgment of God because of it. Now, most of the figures that I get, and I'm going to be that I'll quote and that I built my tables out of, come out from a group called the Guttmacher Institute, spelled Guttmacher. And believe it or not, they are a group that promotes abortion. That's what they do. They started out under the auspices of Planned Parenthood. They were founded by Planned Parenthood. They were the research arm of Planned Parenthood back in 1968. In 1977, they came out of Planned Parenthood and became a separate, quote-unquote, independent entity. But do you know that their figures that they report on abortions are much higher than the ones reported by the Centers for Disease Control office in Atlanta, Georgia? That's a government facility. And why does that happen? The problem is with the reporting. The government does not mandate by law that they have to report. And the biggest offender in it is the state of California. Biggest offender. They request statistics. They did. I think they stopped this whole thing of keeping statistics by the federal government stopped, I think, in 2014. I'm not sure you can find any later statistics than that. But the government figures were always lower. And the reason they were always lower is that both California, New Hampshire, and there's a mix of two or three other states that routinely did not provide statistics. So they were always higher. In fact, if you look at the total figures from the time that Roe versus Wade came in 1973 until the current data ends, which was in 2004, there was a 21.8% difference between the government figures and the other figures. Now, if these reprobates are going to legalize abortion, if they've done it, if that's what they're going to do, they need to make them document each and every one of those abortions that they do. And they need to document whether or not they've had a divorce before, whether or not they're married, what their race is, how old they are. And we go right on down the line. The statistics that the federal government ought to mandate to be supplied so we know what's going on. It is to their benefit if they can hide what's going on, folks. They have an agenda. And it's not just world population control. That's one of the issues that they'll tell you. But that's not just what it feeds. But they need to be required to do that. But are they going to do it? And is nobody going to do it? No, they're not going to require it. The government's not going to require it. Brother Jeff.
Let's say it's about population control. Mm-hmm. There's a serious problem in European countries because of the birth rate is so low. But the abortion clinics run wild. Open. Mm-hmm. How can that be? Does it make sense?
It does. Okay. It on the surface, it doesn't, but it does.
It's not about population.
It isn't. And folks, I would encourage you. I've got an article loaded up to my website called Abortion, the Bloody Facts. And in that article, I document the very thing that Brother Jeff was just talking about. What they have really done is they have hindered the economy of that particular country that they do that in. What about that? And the National Right to Life Committee supplies that information too. You can go there. Website and get all this information.
The reality is there's a panic. That's the actual fact of the matter.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a satanic church thing.
Yeah.
Seriously. That can be proven.
Yeah. Now, The whole time that I've been talking this morning, the whole time I've been talking, I don't know how many minutes it's been, every second, two babies are murdered. Every second, two babies are murdered. That's not in the United States. There's over 56 million babies aborted throughout the world every year. How in the world does God stay his hand? It's because of his long suffering, folks. If it were not for that, we'd all be in hell. Another big supporter of Planned Parenthood is George Soros. Surprise, surprise. I'm fast running out of time here, and I don't know how much more of this I want to try to cover in the class, because what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on all of us. And it can reach a point because it is so bloody, so vile, that it can hinder our worship in the morning worship service. And that's one of the things that I have to be very, very careful of. That's one of the reasons why I will not pass stuff around. If we were just going to have this class and then leave and go, I would pass it out. But we're not going to do that. But I would encourage you to go to my website and look this stuff up. I'm going to post those pictures up. And folks, if you have a weak stomach, don't go and look. All right, I just want to hit some highlights of that particular article that I just talked about, abortion, the bloody facts. Just some of the topics that are included. The sheer numbers and bloody facts. Also, the legal requirements in brief are given up there. I've probably got, there may be as many as 25 different Supreme Court decisions that deal with the issue of abortion. I've got a synopsis of those laws up there. This article is 18 pages long. There's a synopsis of those laws that are posted up there. We need to get Roe versus Wade overturned. It needs to go away. Abortion is a big business. That's another thing in the article of how much money is being made on it. You know, Planned Parenthood is not opposed to abortions. They're opposed to illegal abortions. Why do you think that is? They're not getting any money out of it. Adolf Hitler was a nicer guy. Yeah. The butchering, torturing, and poisoning acts of the abortionists. Have you ever looked at all the abortion procedures that are involved? You can get all those off of that website if you go and look at them. And I'm not going to cover all the methods. There's a lot of chemical methods, and there's a lot of other butchering methods that they use. There's a section under on the growth of the baby in the womb. It gives some different figures on that. And then there's a topic on, does abortion cause the baby pain? Absolutely it does. And there's a lot of that documentation came from the National Right to Life Committee, some of the documentation they have. And there's a website out there called Abort73.com. Abort73.com. Abort73, of course, is talking about what? The Roe versus Wade decision. Want to do away with that. That's a good site to get that. There's a section on the dangers of abortion to the mother. What happens to the mother, both physically and emotionally. It's there. It has an impact on relationships. What'll happen a lot of times is this. A man, an ungodly, wicked, vile man, will encourage that girl or that woman to have an abortion. And then after she has the abortion, he's out of here. How wicked and ungodly is that? The economic impact of abortion. There's a section in there on that. We just briefly talked about it. Now, who has abortions? There's a topic in there on that. Why are abortions performed? And then dealing with the abortionists and the abortion advocates. There's a section in there on that also. It tells you how to deal with some of the stuff that they throw at you. And also the National Right to Life Committee posts a, they have a document that's entitled, When They Say, You Say. That's the title of the document. When They Say, You Say. And here are some of the excerpts out of it. Some of the things, they talk about choice. We don't use the word choice. We use the word decisions, alternatives, or options. We don't use the word ever fetus. It's a baby. It's an unborn baby. It's an unborn child, a preborn child, or a baby. Never a fetus. Don't ever fall into that trap, because then you're using their terminology. A fetus is a glob of flesh, folks. That's wicked. You never refer to the baby as an it. It's always he or she. And you never refer to the woman as a pregnant woman. You refer to her as a mother. You never refer to the abortionist as a doctor or a physician. You refer to him as an abortionist. You never refer to the abortion clinic or abortion hospital as those things. You call them abortion facilities. You don't call them hospitals and clinics. They're abortion facilities. That's what they are. And one of their favorite buzzwords is reproductive health care and family planning centers. That's what they like to use. Don't call them that. That's the abortion industry. That's what it's all about, making money, folks. And don't say termination of pregnancy. Never fall into that trap. Call it what it is, abortion. And don't use the word pro-choice. Use the word pro-abortion. Don't use the term anti-abortion. Use the term pro-life. Do not use the term prohibit abortion. Use the phrase protect unborn children from abortion. Do not use the phrase feticide. I think I've pronounced that correct. I think sometimes you hear it called infanticide is what you hear. That's the murder of babies is what it is, folks. What you refer to it as, the term you use is an unborn victim, a preborn victim of violence, one of the two. You never use the term liberal abortion laws. You use the term extreme abortion on demand laws. And then don't use the term permissive abortion laws. You use the term completely unprotective laws. And now here's one where I disagree with. Okay, this is in their pamphlet, okay? Where they say don't use the term murder. They use the term killing. Now here's my issue with that. And I want to explain that. It is, I don't care what they call it, they have legalized it. They have legalized murder. It is murder. Period. God plainly calls it murder in the Bible. However, in the current environment that we are in this country, you better be careful when you point a finger at an individual and specifically identify them as a murderer. You've got to be very careful, because when you do that, then you can be sued for slander. That's the reason National Right to Life. But when I'm talking in a general context, when I'm teaching like this, and I'm talking to a group of people, it's murder. But if I point a finger at somebody and say, you are a murderer, they can sue me. So that's why we have to be very careful about the language that we use. You've got to be as wise as they are, but not as wicked. You got to be harmless. And I think probably what I'm going to do is close there. And I may be through this topic. I think I probably am. But I want y'all to go and look up this information, those of you that feel like you can handle it, and look it up and do the reading on it. Folks, it's high time that we woke up to the genocide that is going on around us. I don't know how some people who claim to be Christian can even think about worshiping. That's how critical the issue is. Now, I don't know how many of you in here, and I said this last week, may have had a loved one that has had an experience with this. And I'm going to close out here by saying this. If they've had an experience with it, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. One of the things that might amaze you is the number of repeat abortions that there are. It's being used as a means of contraception, folks. That's how callous this society has become. But there is forgiveness for it. I watched what this done to my daughter. I watched it. And I've watched the impact that it had on her life. She was never the same after that event took place. Never the same, folks. Encourage you again that if you know somebody that's considering that, you send them to me. I'll talk to them. If you don't, refer them to find a Right to Life committee somewhere and refer them to that so that they'll go and do that rather than going to get an abortion. Folks, I've seen so much of this week. I've been pretty much sick all week long, sick at my stomach. And the unfortunate thing, folks, is this. We have reached a point where it has gotten so out of control, and there are so many people in our society that are in favor of it, there's not a whole lot politically that we can do about it. We've lost the battle because we didn't even pitch an army. And because of that, we need to be praying. We need to be praying, folks. We need to be intervening whenever we possibly can. God is sick of this stuff, folks. He's sick of it. And I love this country. But look what we've done. Look what we've done. I thank y'all for listening this morning. Thank you.